Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and if you would have your bulletin open to the inner fold, there's some verses that we're going to be using as we move through this today. Well, this is an old series, Our Home, but we're starting a new phase in this series, and this morning we're looking at the issue of authority. Let's ask God's help. Lord, you are Lord of all. You are King of kings, and you have given authority to men on earth. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand this today in regard to parenting and children. Bless us as we look in your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when Steve and Shannon got married more than 12 months ago now, they were counseled by Pastor Mike Kwok. And one thing that Mike Kwok recommended to them was that they get a DVD series by Ted Tripp called Shepherding a Child's Heart. So we bought a copy for them for a Christmas present, and we decided to preview it, and we thought it was that good, we went ahead and bought a copy for each of our sons and daughters-in-law. It really is very good. Then Nolly and I went ahead and bought the book that accompanies it. We read through that, and in our quiet times, we worked through the workbook as well. By now we've watched every session in the 15 session DVD series about four or five times. Well, why would we do that? Although we're not parents of children anymore, as a pastor I am to teach parenting. I am burdened to share this material with you, but I am not Ted Tripp. And I won't repeat exactly what he says, and I encourage you, young parents especially, to get that DVD series for yourself. But I am going to cover the scriptures that he deals with, and I'm going to bring out many of the principles that he brings out of the scriptures. As Nolan and I watched the DVD series, some of our reactions were, wow, this is so biblical. Why haven't we heard this kind of stuff before? And then we started saying, as we watched in more detail, well, we got that wrong, and we got that wrong. And then as we started to realize areas where we had failed as parents, we went, oh, praise God for his grace, because God has blessed our family, and the result is substantially good. But that was largely his grace and not our parenting skills. Anyway, having acknowledged my source, I aren't going to be repeatedly acknowledging Ted Tripp through the series. When I steal something from him, he got it from the Lord also, so I'll go ahead and just preach it to you if at all it's in the Word of God. Please start with a clean slate. We like to think of ourselves as biblical, as Christian parents, but much of our parenting comes from our parents of origin. And much of our parenting comes from our culture. And both those sources can be dangerous. Even if we grew up in a Christian home, we still have to ask our question, were our parents parenting in a biblical way, or were they just parenting the way they had seen in their family of origin? And it's even more dangerous to let the world to push its attitudes onto us. Certainly this is apparent with the issue of authority. Our culture has lost its way with respect to parenting. We are a rudderless ship without a compass. Today's parents are part of the generation that threw off authority. Jennifer was failing to do her homework, so Jennifer's teacher called her parents in to get assistance from the parents. But Jennifer's parents weren't able to help because she was not under their authority. They had hoped that Christian school would straighten Jennifer out. Dear friends, we need to know that God has absolute authority. And God has placed key people in our lives who he expects to exercise his authority under him. And that includes parents. There is no way that the world is going to accept this. The world doesn't accept that there is a God, let alone God's authority, let alone God's authority structure in his world. And further, we need to realize that we are sadly affected by the world. We have We have many Christian parents today who are reluctant to exercise the authority that God has given to them as parents. Parents are afraid to lead children, but parents are to lead children and children are to follow. Do you agree with that? What does the scripture say? Well, as we examine the scripture today, I want to make three comments about parental authority. The first comment about parental authority to make from the scriptures is, we are to exercise parental authority. We are to exercise parental authority. Now, the best summary of parenting in the scriptures is Ephesians chapter 6, which Peter read for us earlier. And we're going to come back to it many times. There is a lifetime of growth for parents and for children in these four verses. Let's read them again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training of the Lord and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers are commanded by God to bring their children up in the instruction of the Lord and the discipline of the Lord. Fathers, and by implication, mothers, are to exercise God's authority over their children. Though the world avoids it, the issue of life is the issue of authority. Have a look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, and we'll follow this account. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, as a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority. Notice that also there, what he's saying to Jesus about what he understands about Jesus. He's saying, I'm just trying to find the place again. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. Another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So a Roman centurion recognized that the issue of life is the issue of authority, and that Jesus was exercising all God's authority on earth just as he was exercising authority from above, from his superiors, over the Roman soldiers. Jesus himself stated in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples. So we serve as Christians with Christ's authority, and we serve as parents with Christ's authority. Chapter 6 and verse 4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training of the Lord and the admonition of the Lord. God's authority structure is repeatedly stated in the scriptures. And even in our present passage, we see that wives are to be under the authority of their husbands. Chapter 5 and verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. We see that children are under their parents' authority. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We see that employees are under the authority of their employers. Chapter 6 and verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. You obey your employer just the same way that you would obey Christ. And in other passages it is taught that citizens are under the authority of the government. Romans 13 and verse 1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So teachers, representing parents, and police, representing the state, the government, are other authorities in our lives that need to be obeyed. The place that where it is learned that authority is the issue of life is the home. If children do not learn to respect the authority of their parents, they're not going to learn to respect any other authority. They're not going to respect the authority of teachers. They're not going to respect the authority of police. And very sadly, they're not going to accept God's authority in their lives. Tragically, their rebellious hearts will deservedly cause them to be thrown into the lake of fire for an eternity without Christ. The issue of life is the issue of authority, and parents are to exercise parental authority. Queensland newspaper last week reported, residents are demanding action after more than 100 drunken and destructive teenagers ran rampant through their neighbourhood on Friday night. At 10 p.m. at least 150 teens spilled onto the streets when a party in Mackay Drive was closed down. Resident Kerry McInerney said it was a terrifying situation and left elderly residents shaken. There were literally teens shoulder to shoulder. There were hundreds of them. They were fighting, breaking bottles, relieving themselves in our yards, ripping out trees and drinking. A police spokesman said that at least six people were arrested for fighting. Ms. McInerney said it was one of many out-of-control parties that had rocked the suburb in the last 4 or 5 years. Most of these kids were 14, 15 or 16, she said. They fought and abused police. Nothing seemed to deter them. Nothing seemed to deter them. Do any of these teens respect God or respect God's authority? Of course not. It's no longer culturally acceptable for dad to be boss at home. Mum doesn't listen to dad, and dad doesn't listen to his boss at work. Once bosses used their authority to get things done, to accomplish goals, now bosses use bonuses and incentives. It is not surprising that children raised in this climate no longer sit where they're told. They no longer ask permission to speak in the classroom. They no longer fear consequences of talking back to mum and dad. They do not accept any submissive role in life from anyone. And Christians are going the way of society at large. Isn't it true that we're losing our children? Parents who have toddlers are afraid of when they're going to become teenagers. Parents are afraid to give children direction. They live under this false idea that they need to let the children decide. As parents, we must exercise authority. We must require that our children obey. Instead, we say something like this. Would you like to go to Sunday school or would you like to stay at home? You can decide. Just tell us what you want. I'm happy, whatever you want. Sunday school would be good for you, but if you need to sleep in, that's okay too. Just let me know. Would parents please stand up and lead? On the other hand, children quickly learn when parents have had enough, when they're at the end of their tether, when they're about to explode. Maybe it's when the parent starts yelling. Maybe when the parent says something like, Wayne, Rodney, Rebellion, come here immediately, using every one of your names. If children will obey at some point, why not teach them to obey when you're requested in a conversational tone? I want you to pick up your toys. Obeying means now. Obeying means without argument or excuse. And obeying means that means doing all that you're asked to do. The issue of life is the issue of authority. The place of blessing for children is respecting mum and dad's authority. Notice the promises that are here. Chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And here's the place of blessing, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. When they disobey, they move out of that sphere of blessing. Dads, please take your responsibility for God's authority seriously. Verse 4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training of the Lord and in the admonition of the Lord. The second comment about parental authority to make from the scriptures is, you are to remember that you are under authority. You're to remember that you are under authority. That is, you answer to God for the way that you exercise your authority. Our authority should reflect the authority of Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. Our authority should reflect the authority of Jesus Christ, who is the servant king. We are God's agents. As parents, our lives should reflect God's love and mercy, His care, His help and direction. The purpose of parental authority is not to get them to do what we want. That may surprise you. Let me state it again. The purpose of parental authority is not to get our children to do what we want. The purpose of parental authority is to teach the child to live under God's authority. We are not seeking to hold our children under our power, but we are seeking to empower them to live self-disciplined lives under God's authority. Now, to help in this process, remember to remember that we are under authority as parents, there are two key descriptions that are going to help us. The first one is we are to be shepherds. So to remember we are under authority, remember our authority is as shepherds. We are to be shepherds. The scriptural concept of a leader is a shepherd. Ezekiel was a prophet who lived in exile about 500 years before Christ. Remember, God's people, Israel, had been disobedient time and again, and finally God had to discipline in love his people. And so he took them into exile away from Israel to Babylon, but not quite all at this point. While Ezekiel is over there in Babylon in exile, there are still some leaders left in Israel, but unfortunately they are not living. They haven't learnt their lesson. They are not living the way God intended. So God spoke to these sinning leaders through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds. This is the leaders of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Now the scriptural concept of leadership is shepherding. These leaders were failing in their shepherd, and God says, woe to you, shepherds. They were caring for themselves and not for the sheep. So let's pick it up at verse 2 again. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. It was a sin to shepherd with force and cruelty. Instead, they should have been strengthening the weak. They should have been healing up the sick. They should have been binding up the broken. They should have been bringing back the offended and seeking the lost. Verse 5 of the same passage continues, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. A shepherd, as a leader, is meant to lead. The sheep should not be scattered under their leadership. And verse 5 continues, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. A shepherd is also meant to protect the sheep so that they are not attacked by the enemy. Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the face of the whole earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. The shepherds are meant to bring the wandering to Christ. These roles are true for pastors, and they're true for parents. They're true for any spiritual leader. He cannot exercise his authority with force and cruelty, or he will answer to the great shepherd of the sheep. He cannot neglect to lead and to care and connect the sheep to the good shepherd, or he will answer to the chief shepherd of the sheep. So then the picture of a shepherd leading the sheep is a great picture for us as parents as we think about how we should be leading our children. Jesus Christ as the good shepherd becomes a model for us as parents. We are to shepherd. And the second picture for us that is going to be helpful as we remember that we are to exercise our authority under God's authority is we are to be as servants, as servants. The one who possesses all authority came as a servant. You well know that wonderful passage in Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let's read it again in the context of parenting. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, a slave, and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The point from this passage is that Jesus humbled himself. Jesus was a bondservant. He was a slave to us. And we are to remember that as we exercise God's authority under him. We dare not parent arrogantly or like some mini tyrant. We are to remember that we answer to Jesus Christ who modeled both shepherding and service as integral aspects of leadership. So then the scripture teaches we are to exercise authority but not be authoritarian. The scriptures teach us that we are to exercise authority but not be authoritarian. We are under authority and we are to reflect God's kind of authority. As your parent, carry in mind the pictures of the shepherd and the servant. As a young dad and a new Christian, I certainly did not have those two models in mind. In fact, the model that I had in mind was very authoritarian. I picked that up as a Christian dad, as a young man, as a young Christian, from the kind of pastoring that I saw, that a Christian dad was to be authoritarian. It took me 2 decades to realize that that was the wrong model. And it's taken me a further decade to get the correct model in focus. But I have the opportunity to pass on this Bible teaching to you. Our culture tends to either one extreme or the other, either to crass authoritarianism, and there's a little picture there of a child and a dad with a megaphone blasting at the child. So our culture tends to crass authoritarianism, or on the other hand, to be very wimpish when it comes to this matter of leading children, where the child becomes the authority in the home and tells the parent what to do. And sadly, the church has tended to reflect the world. When the world was very authoritarian back in the 19th century, the church tended to be very authoritarian too. And today, as the world quivers at exercising authority as parents, we're tending in that same direction as well. May the Lord help you, young parents, do a better job with parenting than what we did with you. Children do rebel against authoritarianism. It's only grace if they do not. Paul has both authoritarianism and permissiveness in mind when he says in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." Authoritarianism may provoke them to wrath. Permissiveness may provoke them to wrath. Opposite extremes on the spectrum may provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the training of the Lord and the admonition of the Lord. Isn't it amazing that both ends of the spectrum produce angry kids? The present generation of young people are rebellious because of permissiveness and broken homes. And as we see that the present generation of young people are rebellious and angry because of permissiveness, we might tend to the other extreme and become very authoritarian. But sadly, that's going to leave a similar result. We will spend a lot of time in this series seeing what shepherding as a parent looks like. But if you remember the good shepherd, the servant king, that Jesus was full of grace and truth, both, you'll be heading in the right direction. The third comment about parental authority to make from the scriptures is, you are to remember the goal of your authority. you are to remember the goal of your authority. We have already said that the goal of our parenting is to produce self-controlled children who gladly choose to live under the authority of God. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at the goal of parenting is to say that God desires a godly seed. God desires a godly seed. Let's read through these verses again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The prophet Malachi lived something like 400 years before Christ. And the worship at the temple, if you could have sat there and seen the people coming into worship, it was something beautiful to see. They brought their offerings, and they brought tears with their offerings. But sadly, although it appeared beautiful, it was all for show. They honored God with their lips, but their heart was far from him. Now, one example of how far their heart was from him was that divorce was rampant. One of the reasons God hates divorce is because it rarely produces godly seed. Normally, the young people of divorced parents are hurting young people. So you'll understand Malachi's message to the people of that time when he says in Malachi 2 and verse 13. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears. You'd think that'd be good, right? With weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Why wouldn't God be happy with our offerings and tears? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant, by promise, by vow. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Why does God want a husband and wife stay together? Because he seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. In this discussion here in Malachi of true worship, of marital faithfulness, and of godly living, God indicates that he desires godly offspring. The old King James said godly seed. God's desire from our homes is a godly seed. The products of a Christian home should be godly young people. That is the goal of our parenting, for it is God's desire for our parenting. Your goal in parenting cannot be that your kids don't embarrass you in public. Your goal of your parenting cannot be that they simply obey you. Your goal of your parenting cannot be merely good behavior. Those goals are not sufficient. Remember the Pharisees? They were well behaved. They appeared to be doing the right thing. But Jesus saved his most scathing words for the Pharisees. Matthew 23 and verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Why? Because their behavior is good, but their heart was far from him. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Your goal in parenting cannot merely be good behavior. It must be a godly seed. It must be that your children know God, love God, and worship God, living godly under God's authority. This, of course, will mean that they need to be saved at some point, but if your child prays a sinner's prayer or responds at a VBS or an Awana group, don't think your job is finished there. The goal of parenting is not just save children, but godly children, so that they daily walk in dependence on Christ. We're constantly to show them their need of Christ. Let's suppose a child has disobeyed you. And in this series, we're going to look more closely at discipline of the Lord. But every time they disobey is an opportunity to teach them about spiritual things, because we remember that the issue of life is the issue of authority. In chatting to them, you might say, you took that toy from your brother. When you took that toy, were you pleasing God or pleasing self? They might confess, I was pleasing myself. We continue, it's sometimes hard to want to please God, isn't it? We just want to please ourselves, don't we? We need to ask God to help us to want to please Him. A child can easily understand that conversation, but notice what we've taught them. We've taught them that it was wrong to take the toy. They probably knew that anyway. We've taught them that the reason they took the toy was because of selfishness. Were you pleasing God or pleasing self? They know, but they probably haven't realized that until you brought it up, that they have a selfish heart. We've taught them, number three, that they need God's forgiveness when they disobey God. And number four, that they need God's help to share their toys, to live for God from the heart. So we might pray with them, dear God, I'm sorry for taking the toy. It was because I was pleasing myself. Please help me to want to please you. Please help me to share my toys. And then we might talk with them and explain, well, if we're going to have God's help to be able to share our toys, we need to know Jesus is our own Savior from sin. We need His help to be able to do what is right in life. Therefore, every disobedience can become an opportunity for the gospel. Disobedience is a powerful opportunity to teach children, number one, that Jesus can remove the penalty of sin, they can be saved, they can be forgiven and cleansed totally. And number two, Jesus gives the power to overcome sin. He gives the power to do right. So we can use those opportunities to teach about salvation and sanctification, that Jesus can help them to grow as they depend on Him. They learn to share toys from the heart, not just when mum and dad are watching. We don't want just good behavior. We want godly seed. Ephesians 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And I hope that you can see that we're starting to fill out something of what those verses mean. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that as parents, we would recognize your authority. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would exercise that parental authority over our children. But Lord, please help us to do it as shepherds and as servants of the King. And please help us to show the grace and truth of Jesus Christ in our daily lives. Help us to love our children and care for them and seek their best. And Lord, to show them what is right. Pray, Lord, that we would take opportunities when our children have done wrong to show them how they can know Christ and how they can live for Him each day. Lord, help this generation of parents to be better than the previous generation of parents. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would help them to be a better generation of parents despite the greater pressures on them from the world. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, you would help this present generation of parents to have a spiritual focus in their own hearts and in their own lives. And we pray that we can look at this more as we examine the heart next time. Bless this church, Lord. Bless the young families. Help our parents to be everything that they should be to the children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.